There's a good ma'aser of Shlomo Shvadron. It's a very good story that Shlomo Shvadron was when in his younger years he was learning with Bochim in Bochim. He was doing Kiruv. So at one point there was one of the Bochim in the evening. It was like Bochim and people that were on yeshivas are not close to the yeshiva world. And he was learning with them Gemara and everything. And he got on very well. They got on extremely well with each other. And it was a very successful kind of evening program. One of the best students didn't show up one evening. He was very surprised. He said, okay, it can happen one evening. The second evening, again, he didn't come. After the third evening, he didn't show up. He didn't understand, why is this? He's normally very, very serious. Why is he not? So he goes to his house and asks him, why you haven't come for 3 nights? You were so into the learning. Why didn't you come? So this student tells Avshalom Shvadron, he tells him that you have to understand it's the season, it's the what's called the World Cup. So what's World Cup? So World Cup, you have to understand, there's different teams and there's a winner and everything. He says, well, what do they play exactly? He says, well, they play the best of both. Of both countries, they play football. He said, what exactly is the game? He says, Shiva, don't you understand? It's very exciting. There's a ball, and you have to try to aim into the other. He says, 10, 11 people on one side, 10, 11 people on the other side, and they have to, kick the ball into the goal from there. And he says, and that's the whole thing. He says, yeah, whoever gets the most goals, he has won. So why don't they just go, in the evening and just take a ball and throw in a few, and kick the ball a few times in there? So he says, don't you understand it? The whole idea is that there is a person standing by the goal and trying to protect the goal from having any balls being kicked into the goal. And he says, what are you saying again? He says, yeah, the whole aim. So the student says, yeah, the whole aim is to kick the ball when there's somebody there preventing it from getting in. He says, can you say that again? He says, the whole aim, and Abshon pretended he doesn't understand. So the student says, the whole aim of the game is that you kick the ball, and there's somebody trying to prevent you from getting in. It's making it difficult. Without that challenge, there's no point. So can you say that again? He says, without that challenge of somebody in front of the goal, without that challenge, there's no point. There's no point just going in the evening and kicking the ball 10 times into the whole aim of the game is that somebody is preventing it's from getting in, from making it difficult. Somebody's making it difficult. So Shalom says, listen to what you are saying. It's not difficult to come on a random evening to go and learn. It's not difficult. The whole challenge is when there's something there, a hurdle there to make it difficult. So this week, that's your hurdle. To come every normal random evening to come and learn with me in the evening, that's not a challenge. The challenge is when you're able to come once and you come during the week of the World Cup, but it's a challenge for you to come and yet you're able to overcome the hurdle, that's when there's a challenge to come and that's what you're meant to do. And he came the next evening, yeah. Yeah, that's the story of Shlomo Shvadron. I said previously, I think I mentioned yesterday, or people, that I wanted to bring some bottles and some cans to discuss the Malach Lemaaseh. And I was going through a lot of my Makomos today, and then I decided against it for the following reason. I often think about Rabbi Zeal Oibach. You know Rabbi Zeal Oibach? Rabbi Zeal Oibach is one of the leading poskim in Eretz Yisrael. He happens to be a son of Shlomo Zalman Oibach, not the oldest, but one of the sons of Rabbi Zeal Oibach is a rov, and he's a son of Shlomo Zalman Oibach, the famous poskim, one of Gedolei HaDor. Shlomo Zalman Oibach, one of the leading poskim of the century. Shlomo Zalman Oibach, he's one of the sons, and he's a phenomenal Talmud Chacham. Happens to be that Rabbi Zeal Oibach is not only a son of Shlomo Zalman, but he's also son-in-law of Rav Eliashiv. His son of Eliashiv married Rav Eliashiv's daughter, she's nifta already, but he was married to Rav Eliashiv's daughter. So besides being a son of the ultimate Posek Hadoyah, he's also a son-in-law of another ultimate Posek Hadoyah. It's great, he doesn't have any children, but he is a son of Rav Shlomo Zalman and a son-in-law of Rav Eliashiv. I always think to myself that it can't, it must be impossible. He can't get it right because there's so many machloek. Rav Eliashiv is known to be a very, very stringent posik, especially when it comes to the Chashabas of Shem Zaman. Shem Zaman was quite making, Rav Eliashiv was quite machmir, and quite opposing extremes in the halachic spectrum. Shem Zaman was quite on the, when it comes to the Chashabas, he was quite a maker. Rav Eliashiv was quite a machmir. He can't get it right. He's either going to toe with his father, or he's going to toe with his shvei. He's never going to get it right. It's interesting that in Hilchos Shabbos, he doesn't pass on so much Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Nid, and other areas of Halacha, he's got far more. So I was thinking, imagine that. Imagine it must be quite a challenging position. So the truth is, when it comes to the bottles and the cans, I looked in, there's so much opinions and so much details. And to add to it, I just looked at another very interesting article written by a very contemporary posik as well, who discussed that the bottles now are again manufactured in a different way, yet again, to what Shlomo Zalman discusses, which is only not so long, so many years ago. Hence, I prefer not to, although my father is not Shlomo Zalman and my shvei is not Rav Eliashiv, but it's just impossible to mamash get it, to say a statement which is correct and to most opinions is very, very difficult, and therefore I'd rather not. obviously one should stick with but I think that it's true as well. But I remember many years ago, I'm sure Reb Gideon will remember as well. I remember when we went through those halachos with our Falk, when I was in Gates Yeshiva, that's 97, 98. So I remember something interesting. Falk said once that the Zochav Shomer, the Pasuk says Zochav Shomer. And what is Zochav, what is Shomer? So what's Zochav Shomer? We have to remember and guard Shabbos. Zochav v'shomer. Why did he say it twice? The first luchos and second luchos. So according to some rishonim, it's one is that there's an element of zochav. So Shabbos lekatshoy, once you remember Shabbos during the 6 days, the other days, 6 days of the week, you have to remember Shabbos. And shomer is talking about Shabbos itself. Guarding Shabbos, you guard Shabbos on Shabbos, and remembering Shabbos, you remember Shabbos of the other 6 days preceding Shabbos. So, how do you remember Shabbos on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday? Yes, true. On Wednesday we say, but we say on the Shishul Yom, we say, I don't know. Okay, I hear that. So that's the way we remember on Wednesday. But the other days of the week, on Friday also, it's not difficult to remember. But how do you generally, what do you mean to remember Shabbos? On a Sunday and a Monday, Tuesday, how do you remember Shabbos? So the Rishonim saying that's what our Falak said, that remembering Shabbos is to preparing towards Shabbos, and obviously that also includes all the preparations. The more one is prepared for Shabbos, and one takes chumas on Erev Shabbos in order to safeguard and keep Shabbos in the most lechatchilatik way. And that will obviously include also opening bottles and cans and the boxes, etc. All that is certainly also included in Zohar Klamo Shabbos Akatshe. Good. We're up to Simon Shin Yud Dalet. We're up to Sif Yud Aleph. I want to complete the Simon as well as starting Simon Shin Tezvav. Sifid Aleph tells us also litain shayvoy shemen of benekev achoves lesosmoy. Now this is a kind of a very oily substance, a fatty oily substance, and one is not allowed to put shavo. It's wax. That's what it is. One is not allowed to put shavo wax or shemen of or fat or thick oil benekev achoves lesosmoy. You've got a barrel which has got top of page 242. A barrel which has got a hole and it's leaking out. You're not allowed to put very thicky substance, like oily, fatty substance there, to close the hole, to plug the hole. Why not? You're allowed to put something solid there if it fits. You're allowed to put a plug. Can you put a plug in somewhere? You're allowed to put a plug in. Why can't you put wax in a hole? Why can't you put wax, liquid, like wax in the hole to plug it? Because of an issa, because of a different issa, which is memarech, to smear and to smoothen a substance, a semi-solid substance, is an issa deraisa at times of memarech, of spreading. Memarech does not apply with foods, but otherwise would really be stuck with memarech by just putting butter on bread. or to any spreading on bread would be an issa. But if not for the fact that ein memarach ba'oichlem, there's no memarach when it comes to food. But otherwise, it would be precisely that. I'm just mentioning that for description of what memarach is. And sicha the Gemara adds perisha aruch sicha meshicha ticha mericha shesh inyan echadu. It's all a kind of spreading of something. Therefore, if you have wax and you put it on a hole, and that's where you're plugging the hole of the barrel. That would be an issa of memareach. Avol b'shar dvorim de lesbo mishum meruach. But if you're trying to plug this barrel with something which is not a substance which you're spreading, and still it's not leaking out. When I know it was muta, it would be muta. So look at Mishnah Bosef Kot Mem Hei, which tells us shai vo yishemen of wax or thick oil, afal gav, although then meruach b'shemen, there's no meruach when it comes to oil, also the gazin on shemashava, or to shava. So the real issa is when it comes to wax, but the very oil, thick oil will be also included in the issa. That's only if it's shemen oft, if it's thick oil, kim the shemen b'riktas meruach, or selach lufe, but if it's not thick, if it's very oily, very liquidy, he'll be fine. By the way, that's the problem also when it comes to Vaseline on the lips, or other kinds of creams on the skin, on the hands, or anything like that, to take an wax or Vaseline or anything like that and to spread it, that kind of substance, is potentially an issa d'oraisa. Oil, does anybody suffer from sore lips at times in the winter? What do you do then? Because you take one of those lipsticks and put it around the conventional kind of he's mamash me'isa teira to do that. You're not allowed to take one of those. It's mamash me'ach to take it like this and spread over the lip, which is a bit dry, helping isa teira me'ach. So what's the answer? What is a person meant to do? Nothing. Just suffer through Shabbos. Dab it. Potentially dabbing it. 1:8 says bread in shulchan aruch here. And if the wine, he says as follows, if the wine leaks out through the hole of that barrel, also the sasmoy not to close it. After the little boy shum bedech aroma, lo mosheinu mechavnu leatzniu sham. He says, for now we bring back to the concept of aroma. Aroma is a legal loophole, and we mentioned aroma previously. Now it says as follows: To take a shum, a piece of garlic, which just happens to fit in the barrel. To take that and squeeze it into the barrel, nobody allowed to do that. You wouldn't be allowed to do that because you're blocking it, you're plugging it, that's awesome. What if you just happen to have a spare piece and you want to just, you have to put it somewhere. And now you're deciding it, you know, and I'm not going to put it random anywhere on this table. I'm not random going to put it in this place. I have to put it somewhere. And because you need to put it somewhere, you plug it in the hole in the barrel. Are you allowed to do that? Yes or no? So that's called haroma. Mutter, and that's mutter. Because you're allowed to do that. So he says that if a person has to just put it somewhere and he's deciding to put it there instead of putting it anywhere, so if it's Tamid Chochem, he's allowed to do that. Mutter laharim bekach, that's called the Rome is mutter.
He's still got the intention. He might say, I'll put it there in the barrel, but he knows full well to block it up.
Yeah.
Surely that's wrong.
That's,
so I can't understand.
Yeah, I hear that. That's the concept of aroma. So since...
He's got a choice. He can put it... I'm sure he's got a choice of where else he can put it. He's definitely putting it in the barrel. So it doesn't... To me, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's a good point. It's a valid point. I appreciate your point.
I'm sure deep down his intention is to block the barrel.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a way around it. But his intention has always been to...
I hear that. Yeah. Why by Talmud Chochma they were matir? Why is it takamuta? Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah. Dry skin. So with the dry skin, there is some. If you the one heter which is very very similar to that, it's not always the easiest heter, but some when you eat a very oily food, if you were to eat a very oily food, then that will help the dry lips. Now, even if you eat, that's a bit to what you're asking, even if you eat it purely, what would be a very good example for very oily food? Eating something. Yeah, exactly, very good. So that's very oily. That will help for the lips. It will. So what if you purely eat it, you just purely eat it because you want to help your lips? What's going to be the halacha then? So the answer is that's going to be mutter, because that's, although it's mutter. It's mutter. You're actually, all you're doing, trying to do, you're only eating a little bit, and you're like shmig, like half on you, like you're like half officially like spreading around. It will be mutter. Mutter lechatchila. Although it's aroma, but it's mutter. Yes. Yeah, there, no, take not. Lemaisa, Reb Gittin is another heter, which many poets come out there, and that's just regular oil. Regular oil, it doesn't help for very long, and it doesn't help, it's not a great Yeshua, but it does help a bit. Very, very, mamash proper oil, it's very liquidy, and therefore the Issa Memariach does not apply. Nesu Memarech does not apply. Memarech is only, as we saw over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Shava, or Shemen of. Shava, which is wax, or Shemen of, over thick oil. But if it's very liquid, like the common oils that we've got, if you would put that on the lips, that's mutter, because it's not Memarech there. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's not me. Yeah. That's right. It's not merach. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Brushing teeth has got a few issues. Brushing teeth got a few problems. Yeah. And that's, yeah. But potentially merach as well. And that's solved by having a very liquidy one. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. There's a remotion like that. The master of post can disagree with remotion. Yeah. Yeah, so there is a remoshe who holds that there's an issa. It's not an accepted remoshe. I mean, it's one of those remoshes that people generally don't. I mean, it's not. It's seen as a chumra. Yeah. See if you'd base. Sakin shu tochu bekoisel shel eitz mi b'yoyim. A similar example to what we had in our earlier seif, but over here it's a knife which is stuck in a wall of bekoisel shel eitz mi b'yoyim. What if you've got a sack and a knife stuck in a wall, in a wooden wall, shall eat mi b'yoyim before Shabbos? Also, loitzio b'Shabbos, you're allowed to take out the knife on Shabbos. Kimin shudavam chuba, because it is a connected, the wall is connected to the ground, and therefore it's much more severe. Because we learned that ein stira bekelim indeed, but a wall is not considered a keli. It's obviously mechuba lekarka, and therefore stira would apply. That called all the pens. This is called Rashi, or you go according to Tosfos. This is called stira. To take a knife out of the wall, you're damaging it, and that's called stira. And therefore, since mechuba lekarka, it's also avalim utoch besafsel. But if it is on a safsel, on a couch, on a chair, vechem becholtav atolosh, but something which is not connected, and therefore it is not considered mechuba lekarka, but it is considered a keli. You'd be allowed to take it out, because that would be within the world of ein stira bekelim and not karka. Bim dotzer v'sholfer mibudyoyim afilu bekoisel shori. If it is already dotzer v'sholfer, it's already smoothened, and it's just like you've taken it out numerous times in and out, then it's not considered stira and it would be mutter. Simon Shin test of dorim asurim mishum oil b'shabbos. Okay, he will be learning all which is relevant to the oil. Oil literally means a tent, and we all understand that building. And issa, building has an issa toira if you build a proper house. If you take brick after brick and you cement it, goes without saying, and issa, you're over on issa the rest of building. What about if you don't build a house with bricks, but you construct a tent? An oil? Are you over on boina, yes or no, by making a oil, making a tent? What's the halacha of building a tent? Temporary. And therefore, well, some tents aren't, but yeah, on in general. It's one of the reasons, yes. Yes, indeed. It's not oil arai. So that's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us over here, absolutely. That also lasts oil b'Shabbos, v'yom tev. It is also to make a tent on Shabbos, afilu arai, even if it's temporary. That means that we learn that generally when you do melacha on a temporary basis, it's on a drabonon. But indeed, to make an oil arai, to make an oil a tent, to tent, which is by definition temporary, don't say because it's temporary it's going to be mutter or anything like that. No. But even a temporary oil is an issa. Yeah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the oil keva, Mishle Busif Kotn Aleph. Somebody makes a permanent tent, kugon shepores machzeles is dini v'chuyetze b'zeh, such as when he puts machzeles, he makes a canopy or sadinin, or he makes like he makes any type of tent with sheets, and yeah, he makes a tent. V'chuyetze b'zeh le'oil v'oise oisun shiskayim, and he makes it permanent tent. Af zein ze binin mamash chayim b'shum boine, it's still over on boine. That's yes, oil to all this boine, because when you make a tent, it's a toil of boine. V'asoisoy. And somebody who destroys a permanent tent, similarly, gozu hal oil arai. So similarly, when you make a temporary tent, is also over mishum oil keva. Is also over. V'chinas tiras oil arai mishum tiras oil keva. Put the oil keva before they come in. So we're learning that to do a permanent tent is the iraisa, and when you do a temporary tent is medrabanon. And that's the concept of an oil arai, a temporary tent. You know, exactly. An umbrella is a very good example for that. But the truth, you don't have to look that far. Even just putting up a pop-up tent is an issa drabanon of oil. So just put it, you know, it takes a second to, you know, to put it all in the right places. And that would be an issa drabanon of making oil arai. Let's say it will be shmutz shus. Yeah, let me just think. What? Yeah. So, but you and you, who he would carry it for you? You got somebody to walk on your side. Oh, I see. Yeah, but that. Yeah, in principle, yes, you're right. There will be a shmutz shus. Now, a son. Umbrella, though, is probably not going to be considered, in our terms nowadays, wouldn't be considered a tzorich. So if it's pelting and you're under a storm, then a person, then I could hear that you're going to go with shus to shus. But just to be more comfortable in the unless there's any particular urgency, l'chayre is going to be shus to shus, and shus to shus itself is not mutter stam. So that's with regards to the. Why would it be different? It's a toy. So you're saying that. So the only svara that I could hear would be that it's a toy, and therefore what? Therefore you're going to say that it is. It's not meant for boina. Abu Isai, what do you think? Pop up tents. It's a problem. We'll be talking about the size of it, yeah? We'll see that at times it doesn't go within size. But if it's not, here's a pop-up tent. Can you think of a reason why it should be mutter? Because generally we say that something which is temporary, I mean, a tent in itself is also temporary. So it's
a action.
Perhaps. It's gomma, really. Is it gomma? Is that considered gomma? It's mamash ma'aseh mamash. All you do is like probably like undo it and then it pops up. I'd find it hard to see why it should be mutter. Why it should be different than any other oil arai. It's oil arai. It's not oil arai. Any adult oil is also not oil arai and it's osam adrabonon. Lichore, that's no better. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. The Shulchan Aruch then speaks that this is dafke gag. This is only with regards to an oil is defined by having a roof. The definition of an oil is it has got a roof. Aval mechitza is muta. But if you are just setting up mechitzas, that is muta. Just to put up walls surrounding walls without mechitzas itself is muta if there's no roof, and therefore mechitzas is muta. Right, and the rest now we're going to be learning about Mechitzas Materes. We'll discuss that in next year, Be'ez Hashem. We learned today about the very important concept of Shaiva and Shemen, which is Issa Mamareach. To smear wax or thick oil is also, if you're doing it to block the leaking barrels in Issa Dereise because of Mamareach. If it's very liquidy, it's fine. Or on the contrary, if it's very solid, if it's a solid item, you're just putting it into the thing, that will be not included in the Issa Mamareach. We learned that Haroma is motiv Tamid Chochem. We learned that if you've got a knife stuck in the wall, you wouldn't be allowed to take it out. We learned about oil in Simen Shin Tes Vav, that making oil on Shabbos is, if it's temporary, if it's permanent, it's deraisa, if it's temporary, it's midrabonon, and that's considered an oil arai, and that's also midrabonon. And we learned about the mechitzas generally is muta. More to that, more on this point, Be'ez Hashem, next year.